Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to Ask Daydon Advice Mondays here on the Daydon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Daydon Tolbert. Definitely good to be back tonight. It's been a little while since we were last live, about a week or so, if I recall correctly. But we are back. And just so you know, you guys know, we are not. We don't take extended absences, on a regular basis. I tell everybody this. It seems like every year I have really bad allergies. You might even be able to hear it in my voice now. And, like, the first week of spring, I get hit literally nonstop. Like, if you guys noticed last year, right around this time, we were going for about a week, and the year before, and the year before that, and the year before that. I had to take some time off, relax a little bit, get rejuvenated. But I am back. We're good. Courtney is here with me tonight to have an all-time classic show, I am predicting. Courtney, what's going on with you tonight?
Hey, how's it going?
Doing well. I'm back. Shout out to everybody who I did private counseling sessions with over the last week who prayed for me, who, you know, inquired about how I was doing, you know. So I definitely appreciate the love. Tonight, what we want to do is, obviously, like I said, Advice Mondays is a time where we talk about current events. We talk about questions and situations that you guys have about, you know, anything, dating, relationships, social issues, you know, politics, race relations, whatever the case is, you know, we're going to talk about it in the realest way possible. And over the last week, you know, from the government, you know, whether it's reality TV, you know, the news, a lot of different things, the entertainment industry, just a lot of different things have been going on that, I've been anxious to come back and talk about. So I want to jump right into it. Courtney, have you been keeping up with the news as far as where we stand with this whole, you know, impending war? That's really, because it's funny, that's what it is, but nobody's calling it that. Have you been keeping up with it at all? I'm sorry, Courtney, go ahead.
No, I was saying, I just got back. I didn't hear the last thing you said. Are you talking about the Deshaun Jackson?
No, I was saying about the war, with the put it like this, the revisitation of really what is, you know, being looked at is the Cold War, you know what I'm saying? Like, we, you know, this whole situation with Russia, with Ukraine, have you been keeping up?
No, I've just, you know, I'll be honest, I think I kind of fell into the whole distractions that have been placed to just take our minds off of that.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
You know, like,
so wait, so you said you fell into it? So basically you fell for the okie doke?
Yeah, I can admit that. I can admit it, yeah.
I'll work on you, Courtney. But it's real, though. That's the intention. You know what I'm saying? That's what they're here for. That's what the media is specifically designed to do. In fact, it's been a little while since we talked about it, but I don't know if you guys just look. I mean, we literally are on the heels of World War III, and all that, this, you know, that's been on CNN for literally nonstop for the last 2 weeks is this whole missing plane situation. And I don't even want to talk about that too much because, you know, those lives, you know, I mean, I can't even say that those lives are lost, you know what I'm saying, because, you know, I'm just not going to say it, but it's an unfortunate situation, whatever's going on over there. And, you know, but I agree with Courtney, it definitely is a distraction, whether it's real or not. You know, and I'm not 100% sold that it is, but it's 100% a distraction and an attempt to take our minds off of, you know, off of war, and specifically focus on what Obama has going on with this new Obamacare. You know, I know tonight is the deadline for everybody to, get signed up with that. And, you know, I just encourage everybody just, you know, before you sign anything, before you, you know, really lock yourselves into something, make sure you know what you're getting into. Make sure you've done your research and your homework because, you know, for me, anything that is marketed to, you know, to help, you know, anything that is marketed to relieve or absolve the, you know, the people of, you know, of some type of heartache or hardship, you know what I'm saying? But it comes with a price tag. It comes with penalties. It comes with, you know, kind of that big brother's arm, you know, being stretched out, saying, if you don't do this, we are going to do this. That, to me, is not my idea of help. It's not my idea of affordable. It's not my idea of assistance. And, in fact, what it really is, in my opinion, is an attempt to elongate the outreach and the length of control that the government is able to have on the people. And so, you know, if you, and I'll just say this last thing about that, really research what the times will be like, you know, in the last days. Like, really read Revelations and look at what the government will look like. Look at what the marketplace will look like as far as what will, you know what I'm saying, like what type of monetary system exists, what type of, you know, system will exist. It's a very structured thing, you know, and Obama has publicly stated his support for the New World Order. Same as George Bush, same as his father, same as the Pope. These leaders have all expressed their support for a new world order, a one world government, as Barack Obama called it. And so they all are required to give their public validation of that, and it's all well documented. So, and this is this, I guess my point is, this Obamacare is just one step, you know, closer to that, you know, one world government, this unitarian, you know, existence that we will all, you know, unfortunately, be subjected to. So just wanted to, you know, like I said, and just talk about it for a little bit, and hopefully, like I said, hopefully you guys are, you know, are paying attention on that. One of the things that I wanted to talk about also this evening was this whole DeSean Jackson situation. Courtney, are you a football fan?
No, I'm not. Basketball.
God, Courtney, what are you good for? I mean, really, like, you know what I'm saying? No government.
Are you serious?
Jeez, Courtney, what the heck am I going to do with you?
So, I like
you said
basketball, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Are you a Bulls fan?
Sometimes. It depends. Like, if they're playing right, yes, I am. I'm what they call a bandwagoner. I can admit that. You know, I'm with the Bulls when they're doing well, and that hasn't been. Yeah. Okay.
I remember some of our debates about the Miami Heat the last couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
All right, we'll table that for another time. But my point was, with this whole DeSean Jackson situation, me being from Philadelphia, it is a very, you know, it was a very unpopular decision that was made by the Eagles recently. They made a decision to, you know, if you guys aren't familiar with what's going on, they made a decision to cut. And when I say cut, I mean just cut, like no trade, no restructuring of the contract, just cut, you know, DeSean Jackson from the team. And, I mean, if you guys are, the reason why this is even newsworthy is, one, not only is he, you know, was he our, you know, number one receiver, you know, he, you know, leading receiver last year, he was, you know, just a dynamic playmaker. And so when you do that, you know, when you do something like that, there's always a reason for it. You know what I'm saying? And then I think that that's what people really have to do is take an in-depth look at, why was this done? You know, because it's certainly, well, I'll say this, you know, I have my opinion on why it was done. I have a couple different opinions on why it was done. And we'll talk about a couple different perspectives, because I know I've expressed different perspectives. I know many people have different thoughts on it. But this is how I feel about it. On one hand, I feel like, you know, the Eagles made a decision that was motivated by money. Okay? I mean, that's, anybody who knows the Eagles knows that they don't respect certain positions. The wide receiver position is one of them. They've historically put a lot of attention, given a lot of thought, you know, to, and money even behind the quarterback position, paying, I think, what, something like $20 million or $40 million to Donovan McNabb, $20 million guaranteed, something crazy like that. You know, they'll definitely put money behind the quarterback, but receivers, they feel like, oh, you know, we'll just, you know, draft a receiver, or, you know, make do with what we have and, you know, hope for the best. We've got this all-star, you know, quarterback, you know, defense they put a lot of attention to. But the wide receiver position has historically not been a position that they tend to respect a lot. So DeSean Jackson making a lot of noise, you know, threatening them to hold out and, you know, not report to training camp over the last few years, you know, wanting to restructure his contract. And I, in my opinion, they said, because it's a very racist organization, it's a very racist environment, just the sports world in general. And so, you know, I feel like somebody said, I don't know how far up it went, but somebody said, you know what, the hell with this uppity nigger. You know, we don't, he wants more money. We don't even, you know, we're not pressed. We'll go and draft somebody. You want to, if you sit up there, do what you got to do. Yes, sir, you know, no, sir, you know, we'll go ahead and, you know, we may give you a little breadcrumbs here and there, but you want to make some noise, we'll just get you the heck up out of here. And I think that's what happened. But to say that, you can't, as a as an organization, say that. You can't say we're cheap and we don't respect the wide receiver position, and so we don't want to pay this black, you know, guy that is making all this noise about his contract. We don't want to say that we're arrogant and we're just going to go ahead and kick him out of here. We have to have some type of plausible explanation for why we're doing this. And so that explanation ended up being the fact that he has gang ties. You know, he's gang related, you know, on some level, which is absolutely, I'll say this, it's not preposterous, you know what I'm saying, but it's BS. And I say it's BS because, one, nothing happened, you know, that, and I can almost promise you nothing will come out that's like, you know, it's not going to be he was linked to some murder investigation, he's about to be indicted for something, he's about to be, like, it's nothing like that. I could see if he was arrested and got into some trouble and they said, we don't want to be bothered with it, and, you know, we don't want another Aaron Hernandez situation. All right, cool, I get that. If that was the case, then, oh, all right, fine, get him out of it. But, you know, I think that what happened was is that he said, you know what, you know, these are some people who have been in my life. You know, these are some people who I am not going to just turn my back on. And the Eagles are using that as a reason to get him out of there. It's not the reason, but it's a reason. It's an excuse. You know, and I think that, and this is what I'll say, the reason why I said it's not preposterous is because DeSean Jackson, and I don't know him. I'm from Philly, but I don't know him. But what I do know is that you guys have to understand, you may not know this. I talk about gangs, gang life. I'm very familiar with gangs. I research gangs. I've spent a good amount of my, you know, time doing that over the years. And, you know, I don't know if you guys know, there's about a good 20 to 25% of NFL players who are not just gang affiliated or used to be, but are active gang members. I'm talking about Bloods, Crips, Latin Kings, you know, 49th Street, I'm sorry, 9th Street Hustlers, you know, or I'm sorry, Four Corner Hustlers. I don't want to get it messed, you know what I mean, messed up, Four Corner. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of different gangs in the NFL. There was a documentary, a really good documentary done on that a few years ago. And so, I mean, they were even showing how some recruiters would have to literally go into the hood, like when these kids were in college. Like, literally go to the hood and speak to the gang leader and get that gang member's permission or that gang leader's permission to take that kid to college or out on just to see the school, let alone allow him to come play for the school. So this is real. You will see, you know, NFL players blatantly throwing up gang signs. It's funny. People will see gang signs or people throwing up these signs. You're like, okay, what does that mean? But they'll just chalk it up to everything but the fact that's you know, probably a gang sign. You know what I'm saying? And that can be done with so many different things. We talk about these satanic symbols, demonic symbols that we clearly see these celebrities doing, and people will think it's everything but what it actually is. You see these gang signs, people see people crip walking and say, oh, no, he's not a crip. They're just, you know. But so I would just say, if anything, you know, do your research, you know, about gangs, and you know, you'll see what actual symbols are. You know what I'm saying? And unfortunately, DeSean Jackson actually does and does on a regular basis throw up actual gang signs. Whether he's in that gang or not, he actually does throw up gang signs. Be clear about that. Now, again, was that, as do many other NFL players who have not been cut by their teams. This is what I'll say on that. And I'll tell you guys the same thing that my parents told me. Was the fact that he is, if at very minimum, gang affiliated, you know, meaning he hangs out with actual gang members, which is 100% the case, whether he's in it or not, which I believe he most likely is, but let's say he's just not. You know, my parents have always told me, don't give them a reason. Don't give people a reason to associate you with negativity. You don't want to be looked at like a thug. Don't dress like a thug. You don't want to be to appear to be a thief. Don't carry yourself like a thief. You don't want to be treated like a nigga. Don't dress like a nigga. Now, that won't stop them from looking at you like a nigger, you know what I mean, just because you're black, but don't conduct yourself like a nigga. We see the black community embracing these young thug bastards out here, walking around with their asses out, drawers hanging down. I mean, looking like typical, like just straight filth. You know what I'm saying? And you don't hear anybody talking about it. You don't see anybody raising hell about it. But the moment somebody gets cut for what appears to be gang affiliation, then it's a problem. People want to outrage. People want to protest. They want to talk about it. But how about we actually talk about the people who are in gangs? Where's the outrage over the fact that there are, I mean, how many gangs in America? Thousands. We talked about on our last show on parenting in the black community or lack thereof. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to talk about the DeSean Jackson just because, you know, it's a big situation. But how can we talk about DeSean Jackson but not have the same passion about the fact that, I mean, so many of these kids are embracing a gang mentality, you know, a thug mentality. These entertainers are putting forth, you know, those types of images and lyrics and you know, and all that stuff. And so we have to, as parents, as conscious citizens, upstanding members of the black community, we need to do our due diligence in educating ourselves first and foremost on what's going on out here. That way we can speak about this stuff intelligently. Courtney, what are your thoughts on that?
I was going to say just regarding that whole situation. You know, I think you're right, you know, this, or I know you're right, you know, this stuff happens all the time, you know, gang, but that's real, that happens in our everyday life. And it's so funny, I was looking at, you know, people responding to that situation by saying, oh, no, you know, he's not in the gang, he's not even affiliated with the gang, simply because, you know, he's in the NFL. But that, I think people don't realize there's only one way out of a gang, and that's really through death. There's no coming out of that. So, I mean, it's not really unbelievable to say that someone who plays sports or someone who's an athlete is still very much so in a gang. Like, that's just really how it is. And the people want to, you know, take a blind eye to what's really going on. So those are my thoughts on it.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things that I mean, that's a really good point. I was going to go into that is that guys, a lot of people don't understand how gangs operate. I mean, some gangs are more so street oriented, and you know, it's the stick up kids, the drugs, the, you know, all that stuff. But you know, when you really get into some of these gangs, they're not really just gangs per se. They're more so, you know, more like the mafia. You know what I'm saying? More like organized crime. You know, this stuff goes high up. You know, when you have actual meetings, you have, you know, presidents, you know, vice presidents, shot callers. You know what I'm saying? Like, this stuff goes deep. Like, they take this stuff very seriously. There are lawyers, you know, who are active gang members. I mean, even when you look at some of these entertainers who will tell you straight up they're in gangs. You know, Lil Wayne, you know, The Game, Snoop Dogg. You know, these are not people who you just, you know, you just naturally say, wow, okay, you know, yeah, Suge Knight. This is someone who ran an actual record label. You know, for people to think that football players are, you know, it's not about that. They're like, you know, old heads. You know, they call them OGs. You know what I'm saying? Like, the dude on Preachers of L.A., you know, is in a gang. A lot of people don't look at it like that. See, a lot of times people don't understand that just because you're not gang banging doesn't mean you're not still in the gang. as Courtney said earlier, once you're into that gang, you're in the gang. You don't necessarily have to affiliate yourself with that. You don't have to be active, but, you know, you are in the gang. So all I say is that, yeah, DeSean Jackson, he might be a good guy, and I'm sure he is. I haven't heard too many negative things about him, you know, since he's been in Philly. You know, but when you go, you know, when he goes back to L.A., you know what I'm saying? Like, that's, you still gotta do what you gotta do out there for the people who put you into a position, you know, where you are. Am I saying DeSean Jackson is in the gang? I don't know. You know what I'm saying? But the fact that there's even a conversation about that is a problem. Nobody's going to mistake me for being in the gang. Nobody's going to say, oh, is Courtney in the gang? You know what I'm saying? And that's what the way I was raised. You know what I'm saying? You have to be better than that. You have to set yourself apart from that lifestyle. All right? Courtney, if you, let me ask you, but funny thing is, there was a time in your life where you found something appealing about that lifestyle. What was it?
The protection aspect. So I didn't want to, you know, be in a gang or anything like that, but I was turned on by men that were thugs. It just gave me the impression that they were strong and they could protect me, because that was the protection I didn't receive as a child from my father. So I think that's what a lot of women can relate to, and that's why they're attracted.
So it was more so the appeal from a protection standpoint.
Yeah, and physically too.
Okay, I was going to ask that. Protecting you from what, though?
From, I guess I just wanted just protection, period. I just wanted to feel like I was cared for. So knowing that that man had a gun possibly, you know, that turned me on. So that goes into the physical aspect. So then I was, you know, physically and sexually attracted to him because of that, because I knew he could protect me.
Yeah. That's one of the things that a lot of times we don't do a good job of, you know, of discussing. You know, the conversation needs to be had that, you know, there's a, you know, I'm talking about well over 70% of this generation of black women are growing up without a father. You see what I'm saying? Like, a lot of these issues that we have, that we see, are specifically because of how they are being raised, specifically because of what they are not seeing from their father, what they're not seeing from their mothers, you know, the conflict, the discord that exists between their mother and father. And so you guys have to understand, and we talked a lot about this on our last live show on parenting, and we talked in detail about the definition of a mother, the definition of a father, you know. And if, you know, if you're a child, whether it's you're a young boy, you know, and you don't have that father, chances are you're going to seek out. First of all, in many cases, you're going to rebel. You know what I'm saying? In many cases, you're going to have a deep-rooted sense of anger on some level, and a deep-rooted, in many cases, level of resentment towards your mother for putting you into that position. I've counseled many young black men, talked to many of them every day, who are literally every day walking around with hatred towards their mothers, hatred towards their fathers, and resentment towards their mothers for their life, for their situation. Every child needs a black father. In fact, last night's show was a rebroadcast of my special on the importance of black fathers. Am I saying that white fathers aren't needed, Asian fathers? No, absolutely. I mean, of course they are. But there's something very special and something very needed about black men stepping up and doing what they need to do, because whether it's black boys, whether it's these young black girls who, like Courtney said, I mean, how many women have I counseled, you know, who said the same exact thing that Courtney just said, you know, not being able to feel protected, you know, not being able to feel loved, not being able to feel like you're special. You know what I'm saying? And that's what the job of a father is. I actually went to my first parent-teacher conference today. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it was great. You know, I talked to, the teachers. We got, it was just cool. I mean, the meeting was whatever, my daughter's too. So it's not like we're going to be talking about a whole bunch of, deep stuff. But, it's just the fact that I was there. You see what I'm saying? Like, that's just what it was. And kids need that. Kids need to see their father there. They need to see their mother there. And once you start going into things from a biblical perspective as opposed to a sexual perspective, you're going to start seeing a much larger change in that. Courtney, you said also, so not just from an emotional standpoint, but from a physical standpoint, what was the appeal there?
I don't know. It's just to me because, I felt like I could be protected. It was a turn on for me because it was something that I just always desired. So, I don't know. I just found men physically attractive because of that. It was the allure of it, just knowing that, they could possibly be in a gang. Because I used to be attracted to guys like that. I guess I would imagine that, if they can protect me, they can probably handle themselves in the bedroom too. So I wouldn't, I couldn't complain about that. So I would imagine that. And so I started lusting after them as a result.
And that's one of the things that a lot of people don't, they don't talk about. A lot of women will not admit that. They won't really admit that a lot of the reasons why they stay in these not-so-good situations are specifically because of lust, are specifically because of deep-rooted daddy issues. And so, I just like to shed light on these issues, if that's something you guys, who are listening may struggle with, may be able to relate to on some level. Maybe there's a guy in your life right now who you know isn't the man that God has for you, but he blows your back out. But you feel protected when you're out there in the streets because maybe you were raped as a teenager. Maybe you were molested as a toddler or, a young woman. So, what I'm saying? And now at 25, at 32, you feel like, well, look, he ain't going to let that happen to me again. You'd be surprised. Thousands of women can relate to exactly what I just said. Okay? Which is deep, which is very deep. Obviously tonight's show is sponsored by Talbot Relationship Counseling. We're here for you. Call 855-55-DATON if that's something you need some form of guidance with. We're here tonight, man. Like I said, it feels good to be back. We're just talking tonight. If there's something on your mind, the phone lines are always open. 646-200-0366. Hit the number 1 on your keypad. If thoughts on anything, questions about your particular situation. We've been known over the years to, just really, dig deep into people's lives and shed that light, give that realness that really they're not going to get anywhere else about what's going on in this situation. So if that's you, definitely take advantage of Courtney and myself tonight. A lot of things going on in the entertainment industry. Everyone seems to be talking about this new movie, Noah. Noah is in theaters as of Friday. I understand that it did approximately $44 million opening weekend, which is respectable, which is actually very good for this time of year. It's like, the we're not yet really upon the summer blockbusters, so definitely $44 million in March is considered a success. Well, I shouldn't say that. It remains to be seen. I believe that movie cost something like $130 million to make. So we'll see if that's a success. But it's a good start if you're looking at it from a financial standpoint. Now, I know that hopefully us as believers, we're looking at it not just from a financial standpoint, but from a spiritual standpoint. Now, you guys know me. I have, here on the show over the last 10 or so years, we've talked about countless movies, countless TV shows, songs, different things, and done in-depth analyzations on it. This is not going to be that show for this because I haven't seen the movie yet. I do plan on seeing it, and I will give you guys a review of it. We will talk about it. And I like it because I don't want to be ignorant. You know what I'm saying? If I speak about something, it's because I'm familiar with. You've never heard me speak about something I'm not familiar with. But I definitely want to at least see it so I can form an accurate and intelligent opinion on it, whether I agree with it or disagree with it. I put it like this. and I anticipate disagreeing with it, you know, just because I know what the perspective that it was approached from, which is not a biblical standpoint. And there are a lot of biblical, inconsistencies. That being said, I want to say this. See, and I talked, I forget what it was, but there was something else that I spoke about. I think it was when they were talking about doing the movie with casting Zoe Saldana to play Nina Simone in a new, in an upcoming biopic. And there was a lot of, discussion or even outrage about, oh, how are they going to cast her to play her, and she's too light, and Nina Simone was dark. I mean, like, see, you guys have to understand something. People can do what they want to do, okay? Like, that's what people need to understand. This is, I mean, on a number of different perspectives. On one hand, from a spiritual standpoint, we all can do what we want to do. We are given free will by God. I can do what I want to do. You know, I chose back in the day to do this show from a secular and worldly perspective, for those of you who have been around for quite some time. You know, for the newer listeners, you guys have heard this show more so from a spiritual perspective, okay, from a biblical perspective. That was my choice, though. What I post on Facebook, the content I contribute to the group, that's, I have a choice. We all are going to be held accountable for the choices that we make, okay? So God is the only person who can say, hey, look, you know, this is what, you know what I'm saying, is going to be, you know, your punishment or your fate because of those choices. Now, let me just be clear about something. A lot of people see me, and hear me talking about certain things. I'm very selective with what I talk about. When I see people, okay, who are passionate about making a mockery of Jesus Christ, okay, then that's where I draw issue. That's where, I, you know what I'm saying? And like, people like Beyonce, Jay-Z, Lady Gaga. It's like, really, the entertainment industry as a whole is based upon things that are really not pleasing to God. I don't understand why people expect Noah or Son of God or any of these other movies to be any different. You understand? Like, did people really think that this movie, which is financed 100% by people who actively worship Satan, is not, it was actually going to be true to the Bible and even an uplifting and you know, pleasing to God? I mean, I hope nobody actually thought that. A lot of people are saying, well, you know, it should have been this, it should have been that. You can't tell, unless you got $130 million, okay, and you want to sit back and make a movie, you don't have the right to tell anybody what they can and can't make a movie about. I know I can't. That's the Nina. Hey, if I produce that movie by Nina, and I want to hire Zoe Saldana, or I want to hire Kim Kardashian for that matter, that's my decision. If you don't like that, you don't go see the movie. You know what I'm saying? Don't go see Noah. All right? You don't have to go see it. You don't have to. But, you know, now, but if you're going to talk about it, then I would say at least go see it so you can know what you're talking about. All right? Now, from a worldly standpoint, you know, the film is, was from what I understand, you know, it revolves around the story of Noah, which, interestingly enough, we rebroadcast my special where we dissected the story of Noah. When we did our show on Happy, the gay agenda, the homosexual agenda in America. That was really a rebroadcast of my special on homosexuality and what God says about it from several months ago, from last year. Hopefully, you guys, that was one of the best shows in our 10-year history. So definitely check that out. But, you know, everything ties right in. But in that show, we spent a great deal of time talking about Noah and even Sodom and Gomorrah and the real reasons why God destroyed. We read the whole passage straight from the Bible about how the world was destroyed and, you know, all the whole thing. Interestingly enough, we did another show. We did, so definitely check that show out if you missed it. Just Google homosexuality on the Dayton Tolbert show, and all these shows will, you know, come right up for you. But this is what I really want to talk about. Osho and I, interestingly enough, we've been talking about doing part two of our special on giants, on aliens, on, you know, unidentified flying objects, Hollywood's obsession with the extraterrestrial. You know, if you look at these cartoon shows, magic, you know, everything revolves around the supernatural. And a lot of people may be wondering, like, wow, like, maybe you may not be, you might just think it's normal. But if you ever notice, everything is about magic and these beasts and creatures and the undead, zombies, you know, vampires. You guys have to understand that's all biblical. And it comes from exactly where Noah, you know, this whole thing, as far as the fallen angels. If you missed our special, Osho and I, Minister Osho High, and I broke down exactly what the Bible says about the Nephilim, you know what I'm saying? The, you know, fallen angels, you know, aliens, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, these creatures, you know what I'm saying, interacting, mating with, you know, humans and the result of that. And, you know, where those offspring are today, and not just where they are, but what they are and what the Bible says about what they are. I promise you, if you missed that show, you want to check it out. In fact, I'll probably rebroadcast that this week just because Noah went out, or Noah just came out, because it's all based around the same thing. The premise, I posted a good link on it on my page today that kind of explains the background as far as what the Bible says about Noah and then what, you know, what the movie, how the movie portrays these fallen angels. It's almost blasphemous, not almost, but it is blasphemous the way they portray. Like I said, I don't want to get too deep into it because I haven't seen the film, but I do know what the, how the, you know, the direction that the film goes in. And just so you know, I mean, they're portraying these fallen angels. First of all, they're playing God as the villain, you know what I'm saying, in the film, and they're portraying the fallen angels as the as these helpers, as these good Samaritans, so to speak, when in reality they're actually evil, and they're basically sent from the enemy and results of the enemy's attempt to, you know, cause all types of problems in God's kingdom. And so I'm definitely going to rebroadcast that special, but you can Google that in your own time. Just type in aliens, type in Nephilim, type in UFOs on the Dayton Tolbert Show and what the Bible says about all giants, you know, and you will definitely, that will probably be one of the most entertaining and informative and just deep shows you'll ever listen to in your life. Osho and I are coming back sometime in late spring with part two of that, where we're going to go even deeper. And I'm glad we're waiting so we can do an in-depth analyzation of Noah and tie it all into Hollywood's obsession with the supernatural and the real reasons for the and how that ties into Satanism. In fact, you looking forward to that show, Courtney?
Yes, you know, I enjoyed the first one. I mean, that was an awesome show. You really, both of you, just broke down passages of the Bible in a way that, you know, I've never, you know, seen before. And I hadn't interpreted, you know, those verses, you know, the way that you all did. It was amazing. I believe you all were, I think it was the book of Daniel, I think, that you were reading from. But it was amazing just to see how, you know, the Bible does discuss aliens if you really read. And so it really takes, you know, discernment to really see, you know, what it is that God is talking about. And I want to thank you both for that show. So I can't wait for part two.
I'm actually going to post it. For those of you listening, I'm going to go ahead and post it right now just on my Facebook pages so you guys can, you know, definitely don't listen to it right now. But, you know, at your leisure, as I multitask, you know what I'm saying, at your leisure, definitely check it out, you know, when you get some time. It's just, our slogan here is Real Radio That Matters. You know, anything you hear me talk about is something that matters. You know, we're not going to sit here and crack a bunch of jokes, do a whole bunch of prank calls. Like, I'm not going to call up, you know, Aaron and, you know, Courtney's friends and, you know, hey, what's, you know, pretending, you know, nothing crazy like that. But we're going to talk about issues that actually can help change some lives, issues that can help save some lives. And you know, and that's what we do. And unfortunately, those are not going to be the highest rated shows. Those are not going to bring in a whole bunch of advertising dollars. But fortunately for us in this show, you guys respect realness, and you know, and you support, you know, you support. So I do appreciate that from you guys. There was an interesting. Oh my gosh, so much to talk about tonight, man. We might be here for a minute tonight as I think about it. We were, but which is okay. You know, it's been a while since we had one of these types of shows where we just got everything out the way. But we were having, there was an interesting debate over the weekend about trust issues in relationships. I think Veronica or somebody posted a link over in the Friends of the Data on Tolbert Show group about, you know, how do you feel about couples sharing passwords? How do you feel about, you know, sharing email accounts? Is that okay? Is that not okay? Should it be done? Courtney, how do you feel about that? When you get a man, when you get a husband, are you going to have a joint Facebook account? You're going to be sharing passwords. You're going to ask your, you're going to want that password. You're going to want those digits.
No, for what? What do I need that for? I don't understand it. What do I need his password for? Like, that is his own account, and I will have my own account. I don't need to see what he's doing on there. I don't need to see who's inboxing. Like, I don't need to see that because I'll trust him. Like, that, I mean, I don't understand people. And then the defense that people will say, you know, the excuse people will say, well, you know, that's not the point, but if I ask for it, he should be able to give it to me. But why would you even ask for it? Why would you even think in your mind to even ask for a password in the first place? Like, that's my thing. So, no, I'm not doing that.
See, here's the thing. I'm going to say this. Because the discussion definitely went left, you know, and what I mean by that is I understand that the question, the way that it went, the discussion that ensued was not the actual question. The original question was, how would you feel, you know, about sharing a joint Facebook page, sharing an email account or something like that? I have no problem with that. Let me be clear about that. That was not my issue. I've seen married couples, I know married couples who have, you know, individual pages, then they actually have a page that they manage, you know, just because it's their page, and, you know, they have little events and get together. You know, it's just all like they both check it. They both have the password. That's their page. There's nothing wrong with that. See, I think that the question even being asked, nothing against the author of the question, but I mean, I'm just saying a lot of people, you know, these issues become a lot more than they should be. You know, a lot more involved than they need to be because of past bad experiences, which really is, you know, a key feature or example of emotional unavailability. When you allow your present and future, you know, interactions with people and relationships to be dictated by past bad situations, you know, that means you're not healed from those situations. For example, you know, a lot of women will say, well, I don't trust no man. You know, that was something that was said on that thread, which was, it's funny. You got to look at it from two perspectives, you know. And shout out to Nakia. We debate on a regular basis. She, you know, we ended up debating about something that really wasn't even the issue. We were talking about what the Bible says about, you know, about 100% trust and, you know, and how we should not put trust in a man, which I 100% agree with because I know what the word says about it. But, you know, the people who were expressing, I'm not talking about Nakia, I'm talking about the people who were expressing, they weren't speaking from a biblical perspective. They were speaking of past bad experiences. They were speaking of having been cheated on in past relationships. They were speaking of going into those phones, going into that email, and seeing a little something that they shouldn't have seen. That's where that was coming from. When you say, oh, I don't trust no man, trust me, you ain't speaking about what the Bible says about putting 100% trust in God and not in another. Let's be clear about that. You're speaking about not trusting any man because you believe all men have the potential to cheat, which is 100% driven by past bad experiences and 100% emotional unavailability. That's what that's about. Okay, let's not, you know, mince words here. Let's not switch it up. But definitely, you know, I know what the Bible says. But when you're speaking from hurt, when you're speaking from pain, that's where you're going to be coming from. And I would encourage anyone who has any form of baggage or even negative feelings of any kind about men that you haven't even met and haven't even had dealings with, but that are specifically based on other men who have done you dirty, crapped all over you, pissed off, you know what I'm saying? Like, really done you dirty. That has nothing to do with these other guys out here, okay? You're going to be single forever. You're going to be continuing to attract these losers until you deal with those issues, until you have peace and until you have closure about what whoever your baby's father or whoever, ex-boyfriend, whatever, ex-girlfriend, whatever they did to you, you know, you got to let that go. You know, because if you're in a, see, now, that's the thing. If you're talking about, okay, yeah, we're just going to have this, like if I said, okay, yo, Danny, we're going to, let's, I think it would be cool to do a Dayton and Danny page. We'll take advice questions, we'll post updates, we'll post pictures and family vacations. Like, okay, we'll both have the password. Like, we do something similar with my daughter's account. We have a Facebook page for my daughter. So she has a password, you know, so we both manage that account. That's obviously it's for her, just so we can share memories and things like that. If we said, okay, we're going to have a joint page, obviously there's no problem with that because we both know the purpose for it. But do I need to have her private Facebook page, her password? Of course not. Does she have my password? No, of course not. That would be ridiculous. Some people, I know a lot of people, they think, well, I don't need it, but if I ask for it, it shouldn't be a problem for you to give it to me. I mean, you know, and it's unfortunate that some people just don't understand how ridiculous that sounds and how that just reeks of emotional unavailability. Because what you have to understand, guys, and we did a whole show on this actual topic about a year or so ago, and it was entitled Trust Issues, Overcoming Trust Issues in Relationships. So we talked about passwords and Facebook and all that stuff. But if you're even saying, but if I asked you for it, that right there says that there's something in there that you want to see based on a lack of trust. Period. Nothing inside of me wants to see what messages my wife is sending to her girlfriends, you know, or her sorority sisters, or her sister, or her mom. Like, I don't need to see that. And I don't think there's anything in there outside of that. You understand that? And so when you get to a point where you feel like you have to see what that person is doing, that's a lack of trust. And understand, I don't care what anybody says, if you do not trust your mate 100%, okay, then that's a problem, and you're most likely your relationship is on its way to disaster. I can promise you that. Because when you take those vows, when you take that oath between you and God, you vow to not just trust your mate, but you vow to trust God and the fact that he will bless you and bless your union to the point where you don't have to trust. So if you're saying that there's a part of you that doesn't trust your mate 100%, all that means is that you don't really trust God 100%, right? I mean, that's really what you're saying. You don't trust God to have blessed you with someone who won't cheat on you. You don't trust God to bless you with someone who won't fall. And I think there's so many people, but my interaction has been mostly with women in this case, who have such a lack of faith in God and such negative experiences with men that they're not even able to see outside of the fact that some men just won't cheat. A lot of women will even tell you straight, well, I feel like all men have it in them to cheat. Well, based on what? You know what I'm saying? That's like saying, well, I feel like all men, you know, have it in them to be a pedophile. He might not be a pedophile now, but he's got it in him to like little boys. Like, what? What are you talking about? You know, who said that? It's the same thing. As ridiculous as that sounds, as ridiculous as it sounds to say, oh, he has it in him to cheat. No, why? Just because you've been cheated on in the past? Everybody doesn't cheat. And when you trust God unconditionally, you will have that unconditional faith that God will have picked you a winner, not a loser bastard like the guys who cheated on you in the past. What are your thoughts on that, Courtney?
Oh, that is so true. That is so true. I think just as women, you know, we can get to a place where we're so jaded that, you know, we lose faith. And even though we're jaded, you know, we want love. So when we get into that next relationship, you know, we want it to go well, but it's just a part of us is still hanging on, you know, to the past. And like you said, when that happens, you know, you can't give 100% of yourself, and you can't be, you know, the best woman that you can be to that man. And so it's just important just to take that time by yourself and just to really work on yourself. So that's not even an issue.
Right, right, absolutely. In fact, somebody posted in the group an article about Chrissy and Jim, and how they have been together for 10 years. One of the things that y'all got to realize is that, you know, ladies, it doesn't take until 5 o'clock to realize that it's going to be a sunny day out. It doesn't take until, you know, it doesn't take 10 years. For a man to realize that he wants to be. It doesn't even take 2 years. It doesn't even take 1 year, ladies. You know what I'm saying? That's not to say that that man is going to go out and put a ring on your finger in 1 year, but you have to understand there's an internal process that goes on. You know what I'm saying? There's an internal process that goes on with us. Then there's a process that goes on with the people closest to us, whether that's our moms, whether that's our friends. Like, for example, my mom knew that I was going to propose to my wife before I proposed to my wife. My homies, the people I'm closest to, knew that I was going to go looking for this ring, and we talked about what that ring would look like. You know what I'm saying? We talked about where I was going to go, how much I was going to spend. That process happened well before we went down to Orlando on vacation, and I had a ring smuggled away in the sock, you know, so I didn't know if I was going to get caught with. You know, and I didn't even know if it would set off some alarms. You know what I'm saying? I smuggled that thing. I was nervous. She didn't know I had it, and I knew what I was going to do. But you know, but that's what I'm saying. So it's not all. A lot of times people focus on the actual event of the proposal, but that decision to do that happened months prior. So if you think about it, if you've been with somebody for 3 years. For 4 years, for 2.5 years, and you're getting a little antsy, and you're trying to figure out, like, whoa, you know, what's going on? He's taking a long time, and he's giving you the runaround, like, oh, no, I got to just work on a couple things, and we got to do X, Y, and Z, we got to do this and that. Well, that's all BS, because he's already thought about proposing to you. Jim Jones already thought about proposing to Chrissy well before 10 years. Well before what we saw in Love and Hip Hop, but when he thought about it, he thought better of it. He said, oh, no, that ain't the one. I ain't getting trapped down. I ain't getting locked into something like this. You know, I want to be out there having my fun. You know, I still want to smash off a couple chicks. It's easier to do that with a baby mom, you know, or a girlfriend than it is having an actual wife. And if you guys think that's not part of the equation, you know, with these men as far as their thought process goes, you're crazy. So all I'm saying is if he wants to be with you, you're probably going to have a ring within a year and a half, certainly within 2 years, because the decision will have been made after a year. He'll put that ring on layaway for 6 months or 3 months, 90 days, whatever it is, and then you'll have it in 2 years. But if he's going 2-3 years, that means he – and it's not even on layaway yet? Courtney, what does that mean? What does that tell you?
That means that he doesn't want you. He does not want the woman at
right.
all.
That's what it is. You know, he doesn't want you. He doesn't want to be with you. Okay? I mean, and I'm not trying to be mean to you, but I'm just saying that – you know, you have to be, you don't want to waste the best years of your life with men who have no intention of being with you for the rest of theirs. Okay? You don't want to do that. And unfortunately, so many women do. We're seeing more and more relationships, and I use that term loosely, that have gone on for 10 years, that have gone on for 17 years. I counseled a young woman who was dealing with a guy on and off for 17 years. A couple of women, actually, in that same situation. They're now 38, 39, you know, but dealing with the same types of women, in the same situations as women who have only been dealing with their guy for a year and a half. And there's so many women out there. It's the same exact story. Can you believe that, Courtney? The same woman who's been dealing with her guy for 17 years has the same exact story as the woman who's dealing with her guy for a year and a half. And I will try to tell them, like, look, these are the signs, and you don't want to end up like this. Sometimes they listen, sometimes they don't. But, you know, and real quick, I've been getting a lot of calls over the week. I haven't really called anybody back. New clients, new people who've called the 800 number, emailed, you know, myself. You know, I got it. I got the voicemail. I'm going to be giving, you know, I've been, like I said, under the weather. I'm going to be getting back to you guys. Don't think I'm just ignoring you guys, you know what I'm saying? You know, I definitely look forward to working with everybody who's reached out because I take that very seriously. So definitely look out for a phone call in the next couple of days or an email. But definitely, you know, it's deep out here. You know, it's definitely deep. Courtney, you yourself were in a situation where you were being strung along for a good amount of time, right?
Yeah, for a couple of years. So, yeah, I mean, I could definitely relate to that. And it's funny because I knew it wasn't the best situation, but I just liked having someone to lay next to at night. I know that sounds, you know, silly, but I liked that aspect of it, even though I knew that I wasn't being treated right. But it was like, well, at least someone's here, even though it was just going nowhere, absolutely nowhere.
One of the things that I specialize in with this show, as you guys know, and through private counseling, is actually helping you guys recognize what it looks like when you're actually being treated right. There are a lot of women who think they're being treated right just because they don't know any better, just because the last guy was a psycho, you know, and so this guy, he's not a psycho, but he doesn't really, you know, do anything, but it's better than that guy, so it's like, oh, this is good. But it's not good. It's just better than that, and that's not saying much. Speaking of that, one of the things I said online recently was be less concerned when dating. Be less concerned with what restaurant a man can take you to, you know, what trip he can afford to take you on. A lot of times women, and it goes back to a lot of these daddy issues that exist, a lot of women, they put a lot of stock in a man's financial status, his educational status, you know, or background, his social status, you know, how many Twitter followers. You'd be surprised, you know, the stuff that is so insignificant, you know, so many women will look at and say, wow, this is going to be the determining factor about whether or not how seriously I'm going to take this guy. When in reality, those things don't matter. Education does not matter. Finances do not matter. Those are nice. That can be icing on the cake. But if you really think about it, what it usually is, and most women will not admit to this, but usually the only reason that those things matter is because the woman is you know, factoring into the equation of, can this man provide for me in ways that my father did not? I mean, Courtney, isn't that really what's going on? Isn't that the real reason why his education and his bank account and his car and his job really are so important? Isn't it really because, you know, we talk about these independent women, but if you're independent, really what difference does it make how, you know, whether or not he can, quote unquote, take care of you?
Right. I can relate to that because I've told this story before, but I remember being attracted to someone who was an architect. He drove a BMW, and I thought he was just so, you know, attractive. It made him even more attractive. And I was working, too. I mean, working just like him, and I was making my own money. But I liked the fact that just to think about, you know, if we got married, you know, I would say that in my head, well, if we got married, I know that I would be, you know, taken care of because he makes a lot of money and, you know, he could provide for me. And it's just wanting what I never had as a child. So a lot of women will look at that, just the financial aspect, and then there are some women that will look at men who just simply give them attention as that being a big deal because that's something that a lot of women have never had, you know, from their own fathers. So they put those men on a pedestal simply because they paid attention to them.
Right. And that, you know, and that is unfortunate because, you know, that's a clear example of emotional unavailability when you are basing the type of man that you'll deal with off of what you had or did not have or experience or didn't experience as a child, you know, from your father. And, you know, and that's that will leave you single forever. That will leave you single. You know, we did a show recently, or actually a couple years ago, on how to avoid being 40 and single. That was a very controversial show, and I don't use that term often, but it was very controversial. I remember I got a lot of flack for it. Not that that matters, but I just remember getting a lot of flack because, you know, a lot of women don't want to embrace or even acknowledge that, one, that that's a problem, and or two, that the things that can be done or should not be done to avoid that from happening. Because I know I didn't want to be 40 and single, so I know for a fact that nobody else really wants to be 40 and single. So I would just say don't look at it like, oh, my God, it's the worst thing in the world, or don't get depressed about it, but, you know, listen to the show, get that counseling, and we can talk about how to avoid that and some of the best ways to have love. I mean, that's really, if you're sick, what do you do? You don't just sit there and be sick. You go to the doctor. I mean, it's the same thing. That's what this show is. But so don't, you know, it was, like I said, that was viewed as controversial just because, oh, you're bashing women. You know, like, bashing women? Like, understand, guys, this is the only show in the country right now, you know, that is specifically designed to help black women. You know what I'm saying? So, it's unfortunate. But, you know, I guess I'm preaching to the choir, though. Those of you who are listening, with the exception of a few, you know, a few psychos listening with the Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity sunglasses on, you know, you guys pretty much know what we do and what we stand for, what we stood for over these years. So, you know, shout out to you guys. A lot going on. You been watching Scandal, Courtney?
No.
Don't lie to me,
but,
Courtney.
You know, I've seen, let me just be honest for a second. I saw like 2 episodes when it was like nothing else on TV, like a couple weekends ago. But other than that, I have not been watching. But people have been, you know, telling me bits and pieces of just what's been going on. So, yeah.
I've been watching it. But you guys know I watch it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, like I tell you guys all the time, it's one of those things where I watch it. You know, I'll be real with you guys, and she'll tell you herself. My wife watches it, so you know, for you married folks, you already know. You know, when your wife watches something, you're 99.9% of the time going to at least it's going to be on. And so, I mean, for me, it's just not it's just an average show. I mean, really, just almost even below average to me. But that's because I like dramas. Like, I love, like, the best dramas of all time, and this is, like, nowhere close to it. But that being said, I do watch it because it does allow me the opportunity to talk about some very important social issues that so many women can relate to in the black community. Last night's show was a very good rebroadcast where we spent a great deal of time talking about the role of black fathers, the importance of black fathers. We talked a lot about Olivia Pope and, you know, her father even on the show and how he's shown it. It's just a great example, you know, and so many women can relate to that type of successful and even powerful father, but very emotionally detached. And if you guys notice, you know, her father, you know, and her, it was very emotionally detached from her. So it's not a coincidence that you find Olivia Pope extremely emotionally detached. In fact, I think we made history. One of the only times in the, 2 to 3 year history of Scandal that we actually saw Olivia Pope laugh. You guys watch it. You guys know she doesn't laugh very often. In fact, one of the only times she's ever laughed was on the last episode, but she was crying. She was like, you know, it's like one of those laughing, crying type of things. That's like the only time in all of those episodes that she's even laughed. And that says a lot about a character, but it says even more about so many women, millions of even women who look up to her and can relate to her. And a lot of people will say, oh, no, it's just entertainment. They don't, well, you know. No, listen, it's not just entertainment, guys. It's real life. You know, you guys have any idea, and this is no disrespect, because I love working with women, you know, like this and helping them overcome these issues. But I kid you not, I've literally worked with, and this is no exaggeration, hundreds of Olivia Popes. Okay, me personally, I've worked with hundreds of women who literally are extremely successful, extremely educated, but unfortunately extremely emotionally detached, extremely just overly have been promiscuous, as you know, obviously as Olivia Pope has been. You know, if you look at, I haven't posted this yet, but I came up with a little something. There was a, I'll post it maybe a little later on, but there's a, what is it? If you guys watch it, I posted, I said, these are quotes from Olivia Pope. Take advantage of me, Jake. Jake is the white guy who is now the head of B613, you know, a.k.a. the Illuminati, but we'll save that for a little bit later on. Take advantage of me, Jake. So, you know, this is someone who she, you know, said that to and then had sex with, right? But literally, in the previous episode prior to that, she had just said, you know, had sex with the president of the United States. And so, I mean, what's most disturbing is that so many women don't see that as whorish behavior. Having sex with, I mean, forget the fact that they're, you know, two different white guys, you know, basically ravaging, you know, an emotionally unavailable black woman. That's slavery 101. That's all that happened back in slavery. You know, white guys, rich and powerful, passing their black whores around from slave master, running trains on them, doing all types of things. You know, and it's the same exact thing that they're recreating right here. But it's, you know, one of the next live shows you guys are going to hear from us is a special on modern-day slavery. We're going to talk about it from a social standpoint, from an entertainment standpoint, from a political standpoint, because, you know, there's so much that goes on that can be classified as modern-day slavery that, and I say modern-day because back in the day they used chains and whips to enslave us. Now we enslave ourselves. They use TVs and radios to enslave us and magazines, you know, and Facebook and Twitter and you know, all this stuff. But, yeah, so one of the things I said online is that, you know, you guys have to realize that I said regardless if your name is Olivia Pope or Mary Jane, I said that there will never be anything remotely respectable or classy about being the other woman. And Scandal does an excellent job of glorifying and finding some type of positive in the worst possible situation that no woman in their right mind would want to be in. Have you noticed that, Courtney?
Yeah, they do. You know, they try to make it seem like it's just the best thing ever, and that's not a good place to be at all, being the other woman. It's very, very sad. Very, very sad. It's just emotionally draining because you know that you'll never have that person, and you know that you'll always just be sex to that person, and then that's it.
Right. There's not too many, you know, real-life examples, you know, in regards to relationships that can be considered worse than that. I mean, seriously. Being emotionally connected to, emotionally tied to a man who's married to another woman, you know, and who, you know, will never really want you. One of the things that I found interesting, and this is actually very important, there are a lot of good lessons that can be learned from Scandal. I'm not saying you guys should go and watch it, but if you watch it, you'll see so many examples of what's going on in the black community. We talk a lot about here on this show why men cheat, some of the real reasons that why men cheat. And it's very interesting, this whole dynamic between Fitz and Olivia. We recently found out that Melly has been cheating on Fitz, you know, and had been for the, you know, the basically their whole relationship, their whole marriage. And what we didn't know, though, is that that's actually one of the reasons, or it was the catalyst for Fitz seeking out a whore. And let me just set that up a little bit. A lot of people, and it's very, I know a lot of women, you notice you didn't see a lot of people talking about scandal. And my Facebook page wasn't as lit up. My timeline, my news feed, I should say, was not as popping as it usually is on Thursday nights, because many women, it was like a reality check. What had happened was, is that over the first couple of seasons, the show had, like I said, glamorized and romanticized this whole relationship between Fitz and Olivia, right? And so that kind of gave these women hope. It said, wow, you know, this is what true love actually looks like. Earn me, Fitz. Earn me. And, you know, I'm going to, you know, we're going to, you know, you're going to leave the presidency and we're going to run away together and live happily ever after. You're going to leave your wife and we're going to be together, you know, because you love me. And he even fed her all the BS that these men feed her, like, you know, I'll do this for you, and made her all these promises that so many women have heard over the years. And, it, you know, women really started to buy into it, right? And that's when the news feed was on and popping. That's when it was jumping, right? But unfortunately, on Thursday night, something became very clear. It became clear that Fitz actually, it wasn't Olivia. Guys have to understand that. It wasn't Olivia that he loved. It wasn't the connection that they shared, which is why this thing kind of bubbled and just took off to this whole astronomical level that they want you to think that it was. But it all came about specifically because Melly turned away from Fitz and shut him out because of her affair. It shut him out. And any man will tell you, any time, and we've talked about this for years, you've heard men call into the show, you've seen men write into the show who have told you exactly why they cheated for this same exact reason that Fitz revealed on the show. If a man is not being stimulated emotionally, forget sexually, forget physically, but if a man is not being stimulated emotionally the way that Fitz was not being stimulated, guess what? He will seek out that stimulation. It doesn't, the physical stimulation is not the number one, you know, motivating factor for that woman being sought out, but that will be an end result. That will happen, after, you know, but it's not the intent. Fitz wanted to be stimulated emotionally, but Melly shut him out because she had feelings for another man. She closed him off. So what did Fitz do? He sought out the first person who was closest to him, which happened to be at that time Olivia. And so, yeah, over time it, you know, grew into something else because Melly continued to be emotionally detached. But the reality is, ladies, you have to understand, these men don't marry their whores. These men don't marry their jump-offs. They stay with their wives, and they actually deep down want their wives. This is deep stuff. I hope y'all are listening. This is very deep stuff. They want their wives. Unfortunately, because they're not being stimulated by their wives, they seek out alternate forms of stimulation. Sometimes that results in sex. Sometimes that ends in long-term emotional affairs, text messages, cheating, you know, linking up, doing different things, taking trips. But understand, it's because they want what they had with the person who they ultimately were with and loved and married. Okay? That's what it is. Otherwise, they wouldn't have married that person to begin with if they didn't want those things. I'm telling y'all the truth, man. Don't let Shonda Rhimes, you know, fool y'all into thinking that these men, that the jump off is the prize. Nobody wants love with a jump off. You want it with the person who you're with, but for whatever reason, if you're not getting that, then you take what you can get. I'm not justifying it at all. Cheating is wrong. But I'm just explaining to you ladies who have been cheated on why it happens. What are your thoughts on that, Quinn? This is really deep stuff.
It is. And what I'll say is that's exactly why they never leave the wife. That's why the divorce never happens. The divorce, if they tell their jump off they're going to get, you know, they're leaving their wife, they never do. Because you're right. They do want to, you know, be with the wife. I've never dealt with a married man, but I've had associates, friends at the time that have dealt with men married men and were strung along. And after it was all over, they went back to their wives, you know, went back to normal. They never, ever divorced them.
Right. It never happens. So all I'm saying is, but if you guys noticed, hopefully you most likely saw, like, Facebook was not as, you know, it just was different. You know, it was not that people weren't as hype as they were when they thought that they were spending time up at the cabin, they were going to live happily ever. But, you know, they realized, like, whoa, what are you talking about, Fitz? You seem kind of pissed off that you found out that she was letting the dude smash. Hold on, why are you so mad? I thought you loved Olivia. I thought that was real. If it was so real, you wouldn't be mad that Melly was getting smashed off in the back room by the vice president. You know what I'm saying? By his best friend, by his homie. Why do you feel some type of way? You love Olivia. You shouldn't care. But the reality is, he does care, doesn't he? So if he cares about Melly getting smashed off, then clearly he doesn't care about Olivia. And it was all, as I've been saying this whole time, BS. So it's just you know, listen, guys, it all makes sense. It all adds up. You just gotta, you know, listen. You just gotta, you know, look at things from a biblical, even a spiritual standpoint. You know, when God places that person in your life who is going to represent true love in your life, it's not gonna look like, it's not gonna be adulterous. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to be a jump-off. God doesn't bless, you know, FYI, he doesn't bless jump-off situations. He doesn't bless friends with benefits situations. God doesn't bless mess. He certainly doesn't bless sin or adultery, which is the same in God's eyes as murder. Don't get me started. Don't make me actually break open the Bible and start, you know, talking about, you know, how God views adultery. So... And those who embrace it, you know. So don't make me go into Ezekiel, but you know it is what it is. Y'all know me. I'll break it out. Any show is good to go into Ezekiel. One of the things though that I did want to talk about, I posted online. I talked about this the other day on Facebook. You know, just as far as you know, how Hollywood. You know, likes to do things. You guys know, and you guys are getting a chance to see, you know, how things really happen. If you watch Scandal, you know, people, they do it in a fictional way, but, you know, I don't know if you guys realize, but everything that dude said, you know, like when Joe Morton was talking about, like, I make the decisions, I determine when the nation goes to war, if America sleeps at night, if America does this, like, the decisions that happen in this country, guys, hopefully you should know by now, are not made by the president. The president follows orders. The decisions are made by those same types of people behind the shadows. That's how this country works. That's how the world works. The president is just a puppet. Barack Obama is a puppet. He has no power whatsoever. Okay, understand that. And B613 is just a great example of just the types of, obviously it's a lot deeper than that, but it's a good example of how this, the decisions, the political structure of the country is. Okay? If you got, you know, if you look at Scandal, if you look at Alias, one of my favorite shows of all time. SD6 was another type of B613 type of, you know, organization or structure of the government that actually pulled the strings. Okay, if you guys watch Revenge, another one of my new favorite shows, there's another structure called the Initiative. You know, B613, SD6, the Initiative. You know, if you guys watch Prison Break, another one of a good show over the last several years on Fox. What was it called, Courtney? You remember The Company?
Company, yep. Mm-hmm.
Right. The Company is the same exact thing as The Initiative. It's the same exact thing as SD6. The same exact thing as B613. If you guys watch wrestling, you look at, they're trying to do their own little thing. The Authority, Triple H, Stephanie McMahon. You know what I'm saying? They make up the Authority. They control everything behind the scenes as far as what goes on in the lives of these wrestlers and everything that goes on in the WWE universe. You know what I'm saying? It's all the same thing. They control everything. If you look at Lost, You know, who controlled the island? Who controlled everything that happened on the island? It was what? It was called the Others. It was this, you know, these people who just were responsible for everything. They had all power, and everybody else was subjected to their will and what they wanted to be done. You guys have to understand, I don't know, I care what you want to call it, whether it's the Illuminati, whether it's whatever, but, you know, this stuff is real. This stuff goes on. You're not going to see it reported on CNN. You're not going to see it in your daily news. But, you know, it's not anything you can even do about it. But if you look at what the Word says, you know, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not about that, but it's about spiritual wickedness in high places. You know, the people who control the government, the people who run the world, the Pope, you know what I'm saying, the presidents, these rulers, you know, this is how the world is run, unfortunately. But, you know, it is what it is. Oh, man, what else can we talk about, Courtney? A lot to talk about, man. A lot of talk about this homosexual agenda. You know, we rebroadcasted this special, on homosexuality, but we weren't live to really talk about Happy and why it's the number one song in the country right now. But you know, I think the title says it all. You know, I'm happy. Happy is a synonym for gay. If you guys didn't know that, you know, if you really, you know, if you look at the lyrics, ain't no nigga, you know, hold me down. You know, that's basically saying that, you know, if you're happy and you believe happiness is the truth, they're referring to gayness as the truth, and these, you know, whether it's Christians or preachers or whoever else, can't hold them down. I mean, you guys have to listen. You guys really have to listen and pay attention and understand the overall agenda out here. It's to further a homosexual gay agenda. You can see it in politics. You can see it in entertainment. I mean, it's everywhere. So once you understand that, and once you understand how God views that, and then you combine that with Satanism and the satanic agenda that is evident in society, and you put the pieces together, all this stuff will start to make sense. You'll start to say, wow, okay, I get it now. You know, this is why this is the number one song in the country. Oh, okay. This is why every major co-host on every radio market, you know, is gay. You know what I'm saying? Look at all these dudes on the radio. I mean, I'm not knocking them, but, I mean, it's obvious what's happening here. Every reality show, somebody's got a gay best friend. Right? I mean, am I lying, Courtney?
No, you're right. It just made me think of Steve Harvey in the morning. Every time he does this gay dude. Forgot his name. It doesn't even matter. But it's everywhere.
Let me correct you there. Nephew Tommy doesn't do the gay dude. He is the gay dude.
He is the gay dude.
You know what I'm saying? And Nephew Tommy is the gay dude. It ain't no, like, he plays the, I mean, he does play a gay guy on there. What's the dude's name? But make no mistake about it. Nephew Tommy will be coming out of the closet at some point. Okay? Let's be clear about that. You know, I'm here in Philly. You know, if you look at, they fired my man Uncle O, you guys from Philly, you know, and then they replaced him with his name? Some gay dude. I listened to it too. I just can't think of his name. We'll just call him Mother, you know, and they replaced him. With the gay dude. So now is one of the top five morning shows in the country right now. It's Mina Say What, and you know, the dude Mikey Dredd and the mother dude, the gay dude. And so I'm just saying, you know, there's a reason for that, guys. You know, there's a reason. This is all controlled, and I don't care where you live. You guys know we're heard all over. You know, if you're on the West Coast listening, if you're down South listening, most likely. And you know this, one of your major urban markets is, you know, does have, your radio station does have a prominent homosexual co-host or even host in many cases. So, but, you know, it is what it is. A lot of times people will say, well, why are you so homophobic? Some psycho chick, you know, Rama, why are you judging them? Why are you so homophobic? Listen, some people are just very ignorant. You guys understand that when you have a phobia of something, that means that you are afraid. Like, phobia is, you know, it means fear. So if you have if you're homophobic, like the, you know, arachnophobia, that means you have a fear of spiders. Now that would even make more sense. But when you say you're homophobic, that means you're afraid of homosexuals. I hope there's not anyone who thinks that I'm homophobic, meaning I'm afraid of a homosexual, because I'm not. But when you look at what the word says, you know, that it's not about being afraid. In fact, it's about speaking out. You know, it's not about being afraid of them. It's about being afraid of God, having the fear of God as far as taking the side of the world. We just established what the world's agenda is as far as homosexuality is concerned. So either you're going to take a stand for the world or you're going to take a stand for the word, God or Satan. The Bible says you can't sit at the table of God and of Satan. You can't serve two masters. So either you're going to love Beyonce or you're going to love Jesus Christ, but you cannot do both. A lot of people don't want to hear that. They say, well, go back to talking about DeSean Jackson. We can talk about him, but, you know, that's more important. Let's keep it moving, though. Something on a lighter note, what is today? Today is about a week ago. I guess it was the first day of spring. And you guys know Rita's Water Ice, they do a free water ice all day, I guess, on the first day of spring. Do they do that in Chicago?
No. We don't even know what water ice is, but yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm dead serious.
So you don't have Rita's?
No.
There are no Rita's water ice in Chicago?
We don't know what water ice is, so no. No, we don't.
Wow, that's crazy. I didn't know that. I thought they were just everywhere. I thought Rita's was like a national chain. But, well, Rita's is pretty well known here in Philly, and I know a couple, you know, the surrounding areas. And it's amazing. Now you guys know how I feel about the whole voting process. I mean, it's all BS. I mean, especially on a large scale. You know, more so on a city level. I mean, you know, not so much. You can actually get some things done, city council, different things. But we all know that, you know, presidents are selected, not elected. Hopefully you know that, but at this point. But I just found it interesting that you will see people. I was driving by. It was a nice day out. I think it was like a day, it was like 70 degrees here in Philly after a very hard winter and long winter, one of the worst winters that I can remember. And, I mean, like the line for Rita's was just like around the corner. I mean, I really should have taken a picture if I was driving and I didn't feel like pulling over, but I really should have taken a picture and just shown, like, I said online that these niggas will not stand in line to fill out a job application. They won't want to stand on their feet for 1 minute when the pastor says, please rise and, you know, let's pray or let's read this scripture corporately. They will huff and puff. Oh, boy, I got to stand back up. But they will stand outside. They won't vote. You know, yeah, they'll vote for Obama because he's black, but let those midterm elections come around that actually mean something. And you know, no, you know, people are, you know, MIA, nowhere to be found. But when Rita's comes around, when the first day of spring comes around, you know, they'll literally stand out there for hours just for a freaking water ice. You go to these white neighborhoods. Do you think the lines were that long in the white neighborhoods, Courtney?
I know they weren't. No.
Freaking niggas, man. I can't stand niggas. You might think I'm a racist, man. I may even be, because I have such a strong hatred for not black people, but for niggas. I hate them. Like, you ever see Don't Be a Menace? You know what I'm saying? like that's the type of hatred that I have for those types of guys. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not talking about the boys in the hood. But I'm talking about the Don't Be a Menace. But like, it's just like, I hate, like, you know, ignorance. And when I say niggas, I mean ignorance. If you guys don't understand what I mean by that term, definitely look up and Google my special on niggers, you know, versus positive black people, upstanding positive black men. And, like, look at the difference. And we did a whole show on it. And I hope people understand the difference, because niggas are an abomination. Niggas are a cancer that should be eliminated. Like, when you see these guys walking down the street with their asses out, like, those are niggas, you know. And but nobody cares about that except when one of them gets shot. One of them gets beaten by the cops. Oh, then it's a problem. Forget the fact that his pants are down by his ankles. You know, forget that. And he's casing, you know, homes to kick the doors into and has illegal guns that are weighing his pants down. You know, forget those things. Forget the fact that he's tatted up and has the audacity to talk about there aren't any jobs out here. Forget that. But the moment that he gets racially profiled or harassed or let go from the Eagles, then it's a problem. And we need to start looking at the actual problem in the black community, which is niggas. That's the major problem. It's not the white man. It's not the unemployment rate. It's niggas. Is that something you can agree with, Courtney?
Yeah, I can. I mean, that's the same thing with, you know, like you said, you know, people not getting jobs, but they find enough money to stand in line at the club at night, and the line is around the corner. You know, they find time to do that and stand up for hours, you know, to wait just to get in the club. It's like we are passionate, like you always said, we're passionate about the wrong things.
Right, right. I used to be one of those niggas standing out there with, you know, and the funny thing is you go into a club, you guys know how it is, Courtney, you know, when you park a couple, you're too cheap to park in valet or, you know, pay to park in the lot across the street from the club. So you park like three blocks away, but because there's no coat check and you're going probably to a hood spot, you know, you don't want to be all hot with your coat on, because you know you're going to be getting your grind on all night. So you say, all right, well, I'm just going to leave my coat in the car. So you walk, and it's like freezing outside. It's wintertime. It's like, you know, 20 degrees out. You say, so what? I'm just going to be cold and then get up in the club and warm up. You know, but unfortunately, they make you wait outside for like an hour so they can take all your money. They advertise, oh, yeah, everybody's free before 11. But what time do they open them doors up, Courtney?
It's like after midnight, 12:30.
So what happens is, I'm sure if you guys have clubs, I know all the whole club dynamic, that's what they do. You know, they you know, advertise free before 11, free before midnight, just to get you there. But they don't open the doors, you know, or even start letting people in until, you know, midnight. So literally you're there waiting an hour in the line. And there are people who actually do that every single week. That's the oldest trick in the book. So everybody, they might let like, you know, 10 people in for free, but everybody else in the line that's around the corner is paying $30. Real quick, I'll tell y'all a quick story. This most in all my life, this is one of the most ridiculous things that I've experienced. Not crazy, not like tragic, but just ridiculous. It was New Year's Eve, and me, and I don't care if he cares, but Oshel, yes, Minister Oshel High, my homie Chuck, a couple of our other homies. Oshel wasn't always a minister. He knows that. He keeps it real. Oshel used to wild out back in the day. We both did. But it's New Year's Eve, and I think we went to church. That's what we went to church on New Year's Eve, and then we hit the club afterwards. We were trying to figure out, all right, what club should we go to? Right, so we go to this hood spot, and so we're standing outside. The line is crazy. So we pull up. We're like, yo, dad, this line is – so we stand in the line. And so it's like, I want to say like almost 1 o'clock, because we left church at midnight. We prayed the New Year, and then we went to go try to find some girls to have sex with. Oh, yeah, I know. That's crazy, right? How crazy is that? We were some sinful bastards back in the day. I'm glad God has delivered me from that. But, I mean, is that not just that in and of itself, before I even get to the story, is that not one of the most crazy things you ever heard? You pray the New Year in on your knees. You have an opportunity to start the new year right, but then you leave church and go into the hood to go to a club to find girls to have sex with.
Yeah. I mean, that's what happens. It's crazy, but, I mean, it's realistic.
It's crazy, but it's real. You know what I'm saying? It's real, and we weren't alone out there. There are a lot of people who were on their way trying to hurry the pastor up so they could hurry up and hit them clubs. A lot of guys, a lot of women. But, you know, that's the life. You know, that's the life when you are in the world. You know, it's a life of internal conflict. You know, it's a life of internal rationalizations. Oh, well, you know, I can go out because I went to church. I'll go to church so that I can go out and feel good. It's all messed up. But anyway, so we are. What's even crazier that there are people who are listening to who that's their life. Now, and I'm not judging you because I was there. That's why people think, oh, you're judge. Now, I don't judge anybody or anything because I am nobody to judge. In fact, I was, and I'll just tell people, yo, don't post any judgmental stuff in the friends group. I'm just telling you all that right now. You know, a lot of times people, they talk about people, you know, and if I'm talking about who aren't bothering anybody. I'm not talking about people who are, you know, passionate about making a mockery of Christianity. I'm not talking about people who are, you know, trying to get little girls to have sex and, you know, guys who are glorifying, a sinful. I'm not talking about those people. But I'm talking about people who, you know, who are just trying to live their lives, people who, you know, have passed and have made mistakes in their past and have acknowledged those mistakes. I know we were talking about Dietrich Haddon over the weekend. I told you I would touch on it. And we did a whole show on this, so I don't want to redo it, but we did a whole show on the preachers of L.A. Google that if you haven't heard it. But, you know, I don't like when people use him as an example just because he's a minister, just because he preaches the word of Christ, but he has nude selfies out there. You know, he took a picture of his genitals and sent it to somebody just because he has a beautiful wife and some women are insecure about their looks and say, okay, well, we're going to hate on him. Because, I mean, I don't like that. You know, because Courtney, let's be honest. I mean, isn't that really what it is? I mean, is it really that people are so upset that he's a minister and has these selfies? Or is it that they see a lot of themselves, you know, they see Dietrich Haddon as that man who cheated on them? That guy who appeared to be a Christian but screwed them over and left them pregnant. He appeared to be a Christian. He preached the word. He even had the nerve to pray with you, but then he had sex with you and never called you again. I mean, that's the real reason so many of these women don't like the Dietrich Haddons of the world. They don't like the fact that they sent their naked pictures to their Dietrich Haddon and got back that same picture, but found out that he forwarded that same picture of his genitals to another woman that you found out he was cheating on you with. I don't care if people admit it or not, but that's really the reason in many cases, not all, but in many cases that people take such exception with people in the church who they find out are not as they seem. Am I saying that I support Dietrich Haddon? Do I think he's a buffoon? Absolutely. I think he's a buffoon. You know what I'm saying? I don't agree with a lot of the things that he says from a biblical perspective even. Some of the things are actual downright foolishness. But there was a time when I was a hypocrite. There was a time when I would say things from a biblical perspective but then do the exact opposite. And so, you know, that we all have a walk. We all have a spiritual journey. And I have respect for anyone who says, hey, look, this is who I am. This is what I represent. I love Jesus Christ. I'm trying to take this walk. I'm trying to save souls. But, you know, yes, I've cheated on my ex. Yes, I've had a baby out of wedlock. You know, yes, I have, you know, taken nude, you know, naked pictures of myself and stuff, you know, and now they're on the internet for people to see. I mean, but what are you going to do? You know, are you going to hold this person accountable for that for the rest of his life? Or are you going to do as Jesus said and say, hey, look, go and sin no more? Now, unless you're tracking his life to see if he's sinning on an everyday basis, then, I mean, you really got to let the man live. That's my thoughts. And I don't expect anybody or, you know, you have to agree with that. But just know that I know where it really comes from. What are your thoughts on that, Courtney? I'm not even looking for you to necessarily agree with me, but that's how I feel. What are your thoughts, though?
I do notice that, people, they disagree with what he's doing, but they go out of their way to call attention to him. What he's done or, the sins of his past is no different from anybody else. Like, it's no different. But people will, make, posts and, share it and put it on Facebook. Oh, look at this person, look at that person. And what he's done, I mean, you've done something similar. I'm not saying you as in you, Dayton, but I'm just saying, people, you've done things that are similar. So it doesn't make sense to do that other than to say you're just doing it to take attention away from you. And, I mean, that's why people put others down, just to make themselves feel better about whatever it is they're going through. It's like,
right,
a temporary
pick-me-up. Well, what are you saying? Are you saying you said you use me, so you're saying I've sent out naked pictures of myself? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I said.
Right, no, I'm just messing with you.
When I said you, I meant that in a general sense, not yes, you literally. That's what I'm saying.
I know, I'm just giving
you
a hard
time. Yeah, you're just playing with people.
But the reality is I've done all of those things. And like I said, I used to be a bastard. You know what I mean? But because I have done those things is why I'm good at what I do now. You know what I mean? So as far as helping people not make those mistakes, helping people recognize when they are being targeted in a similar way. But back to that story real quick. It's just a crazy story. So long story short, we go to church, we pray the New Year in. So we drive up to this spot. The line is already around the corner, so we get in the line. We wait in the line for at least a good 20 minutes. We get up to the door and we ask the security dude. We're like, how much to get in? Because it was New Year's Eve. Clubs usually on a regular night about $10 to get in, maybe $15. At that time, and so we say, yo, my man, how much to get in? He was like, yo, it's $20. It was like, all right, cool, all right. So we said, all right, we're gonna talk about it. He's like, yo, don't think about it too long because the price is about to go up. So we're literally standing right there. So we're like, all right, hold on, we're just gonna think about it real quick. So like, yo, what y'all think? We're like, well, we could go to this other spot, but if we leave, by the time we get down there, it'll be later, and it'll probably be the same price anyway. So we're already here. It looks like it might be jumping. We get in there. Like, all right, yeah, let's go in. So we like, all right, yo, we about to go in. He was like, oh, price just went up, $40. Just like that. Literally, we're like, yo, this was maybe 5 minutes later. It wasn't like we left and came back. We literally just stayed in the line and huddled up and talked about what we wanted to do. We get like literally 4 or 5 minutes later, dude is like, oh, it's $40, price went up. And the dude would not let us in for $20. It was crazy. So I mean, we just looked there like, really? Like, you're just gonna, I told you our price is going up. And so I think he ended up, yeah, it was crazy. I think he said give me $100 for all y'all and let us in. So it worked out. But yeah, that was crazy. But yeah, man, that's nothing though. I could tell y'all so many stories, man. So many missions that I've been on, so many, just crazy stories, man. But many of them you guys have heard, many you will never hear. But just know that everything we talk about comes from a place of realness and in most cases, actual personal experience. But yeah, you definitely don't want to be out. What did you do on New Year's, Corey? Did you used to go to church on New Year's? I mean, what was your routine on New Year's?
I don't think I've ever gone, well, with the exception of the last couple of years. Prior to that, I would always go out. I went to Vegas one New Year's. Another one, I was in New York in Times Square watching the ball drop. I did, big stuff like that. And in all of those scenarios, I was really drunk, just wasted. So living a very worldly life. So,
right.
Yeah, that's what I did.
That's deep. Well, it is what it is. What do you do now?
I go to church. Or if not that, I'm at home, being a homebody. But I don't go out or go to clubs or anything like that. I haven't been to a club in a very long time. I don't have a desire to go back. But Yeah. Just in the crib.
Hey, it is what it is. one of the things that I want to talk about is some of these reality shows. One of the things, I told you guys I would touch on was The Real Housewives of Atlanta and some couple interesting observations that I was able to make. One of them is this whole Peter and Greg situation, which was absolutely ridiculous. Danny has a funny story about Greg, my wife, Danny. I never told this story because, you guys know I've had a lot of celebrity guests on this show. I'm talking about some very big guests, a lot of lesser guests, a lot of authors, some best-selling, many self-published authors, and hundreds of guests, very well-known guests. But in the history of this show, none have been as unprofessional and downright ghetto as NeNe Leakes. And even Greg, too. I've never told this story. You guys know NeNe's been on it. Maybe you heard the interview. It was a very good interview, interestingly enough. But you've never heard the background. I don't think I've told you the background on this, Courtney. I was dealing with NeNe's publicist, right? And, I think we were going back and forth about, she inquired about how her new book, Never Make the Same Mistake Twice, was coming out, and she wanted to secure some airtime for her client on the show. And that's how most of the guests came about, is from their publicists, inquiring about, our availability as far as scheduling them. And so I was dealing with her publicist, and we scheduled everything fine. We scheduled the time and got her calling number, and, everything was going, running smoothly. So it came time for the interview. And, we were doing the show, and NeNe was, nowhere to be found. She was supposed to call in at 9 o'clock, didn't call in. So Danny, was like my, my producer, like my right-hand, technician, So she's calling the number. I don't know. She calls. She's emailing the publicist. I'm emailing the publicist live on the air, trying to be like, yo, where's NeNe? What's she doing? What's going on? And the publicist was like, I don't know. I can't get a hold of her. She was like, well, here's her number. If you can get in touch with her, call her. And she's like, I'll try, but I can't get in touch with her. So we call. We're calling and calling. I'm on the air. Danny's calling. She's calling, I guess, their home number. I don't know if it was the home number or not, but she called maybe like, she said she just is calling like maybe 15 times, like just blowing the phone up. Like on like the 15th time, Greg picks up the phone. While we're on the air, and she's like, "Yo, what's hi, this is Danielle from the Dana and Tolbert show. We're trying to, we have NeNe scheduled for an interview and da da da." And he's like, "Oh, okay, I don't know what exactly was said, but something to the effect of, oh, okay, let me go get her." And so she calls into the show like 5 minutes later, and then that's how you guys, that's the interview that you guys end up hearing after we were trying to get her on the phone for like the first 15-20 minutes of the show. Is that not crazy, Courtney?
Oh, that's a hot mess. That is a hot mess. And I know she heard the phone.
Right.
She's a diva.
Right.
Yeah.
And you heard, like, Like, why are you playing around? Like, you heard the phone. I think Greg was asleep or something, or, because he picked up the phone, looked like his fat self just woke up and rolled over. He's just horrible. Greg is just, I can't stand Greg. He's like, I give you a pass. He's like, I give you a pass this time, but next time it's going to be some tickets on there. I'm like, what? Just watching that, man, that almost took me out of my Christianity. I just wanted to jump through the screen and be like, look, I'll fight you, Greg. Like, who are you talking to like that? I'm surprised. It's funny because I'm surprised that Pete actually, restrained himself. Because, as men, first of all, when women are involved, like when you're in front of women, that tends to cause things to escalate, a little bit more than what they would have had women not been present. So I'm surprised that since, there were women there and Greg was talking all types of trash, I'm actually surprised that Peter was able to restrain himself, but yeah, it's deep. It's definitely deep. So that was that. So I'm glad that you know, they didn't fight. Actually, I'm not glad they didn't. I wanted them to fight, but, you know, it is what it is. One thing that I'll say, though, this is a lesson that I think, you know, and we talked about this with when we did our Love and Hip Hop special, Love and Hip Hop Atlanta, where you saw Little Scrappy and Stevie J fighting. I'll tell you guys this about what I said then, which is, ladies, when it comes to men, and we even talked about this when we did our special on Tyler Perry's Temptation, another all-time classic show, but, ladies, you never want to put a man in a position where he absolutely has to fight if it's unnecessarily. Like, if you're being disrespected, you know, then obviously a man is going to do what he has to do. But if you are just mouthing off, and I had to check an ex-girlfriend of mine I had in college. I remember in college I was driving, and these white guys, and I'm up in the, like, I went to IUP, which is the KKK capital of the world, up there in, like, Punxsutawney, you know, Pennsylvania, western Pennsylvania. But I remember it was late at night, and we were driving, and it was like a crosswalk, and we were just driving, and these white dudes just, like, were all drunk and acting crazy. We walked out right in the middle of the street. No, it wasn't even a crosswalk. They just walked out in the middle of the street. And I was just going to let it, you know, I wasn't going to say, I was like, oh, really, you just going to walk out in the middle of the street? But she reaches over me, honks my horn, and yells out the window, "Get out the street." I was like, yo, if you don't shut the heck, you know what I'm saying? Like, I was by myself, you know what I'm saying? No homies around, like, that could have been something unnecessary. Like, if he would have been like, yo, shut the F up, you B, then what? Now he's disrespected her. Now I got to say, you know what I'm saying? And it all could have been avoided. If you look at how that fight with Lil Scrappy happened, Scrappy's girlfriend, what's her name, the baby's mom chick, what's her name, Courtney? You know what I'm talking about.
Erica. Talking about Erica.
Erica, yeah, talking trash, acting crazy, imitating Stevie J, disrespecting Stevie J. Stevie J didn't say anything to her, but she wants to open her fat mouth, and now, you know, Lil Scrappy feels like he has to defend his baby's mom, whereas if she just would have shut, you know, kept her mouth shut, it wouldn't have been anything to even talk about. And so, you know, those are the same thing with NeNe. She doesn't know how to shut up. Here she's going and mouthing off to Pete, and if you watch the clips, Pete never even disrespected NeNe. NeNe actually asked Peter a question. She asked him a question of what's your problem or something, and he basically told her what his problem was. He never disrespected her. He never even raised his voice at her and allowed himself to be disrespected by her, you know. And so Greg had an issue with that, and all over nothing. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did, because NeNe was the one who started it. Like, she was the one that was out of pocket. She was the one who called Peter out of his name, and it just, you're right, it just escalated for no reason.
Right. So what I'll say about that, ladies, is, you know, just relax. You know what I'm saying? Like, really just relax, you know, especially when you're in a situation that could potentially escalate. You know, we live in a society where men are getting killed over nothing. You know, I remember a situation, I was in a club, one of the craziest things I've ever seen. And even scary, not for me, but just for this person who was involved, it was a situation where it was very crowded, and everybody was dancing, like, standing room only. Everybody was getting their grind on. Everybody had somebody they were dancing with. And this dude, he looked like a real, you know, laid-back dude, was there, you know, he was dancing with one woman, but then he left her and tried to dance with this other woman. He went up to her, and she didn't want to dance with him. And then I guess she was with somebody. She was like, that's my boyfriend. And next thing you know, the dude comes over and was just all up in his face. Like, yo, you got an effing problem. I couldn't even hear anything because the music was so bad. You could just see it. And the dude, all he could do was just, you know, put his hands up. Like, yo, you saw. He's like, yo, I don't want no problems. My bad. I'm sorry. I don't want no problems. And the dude was just up in his face like, yo, I will kill you. I will kill you. He was like literally up in his face. Like, you could tell if the dude said one wrong thing, that would have been it. Like, they would have been fighting right there in the club, and most likely, dude would have been outside waiting for him with a gun. And that's how, just like that, you know what I mean? Just like that, people can lose their lives over nothing. And so I'm just, you know, it's important for, as women, I know you guys don't always see that. You can't always relate to that. But as men, we know that's how it goes down a lot of times. So just if you can avoid it, ladies, just, you know, be cool. Keep your mouth shut, you know, especially in those types of situations. Some women just don't, and I'll tell y'all, so I'll be honest with y'all, the best women know when to just shut up sometimes. I'm just being real with y'all. Some women don't know how to shut up. And I'm not being disrespectful, I'm just being honest. Like my wife, she knows when to talk. She's very opinionated, but at the same time, she knows when to shut up. Some women out here, they have no filter. They just talk and talk and talk and always want to have the last word, and they're single as, you know what I'm saying, as can be. And we'll stay single because no man wants to deal with that crap. I'm just saying, nobody is going to have a woman that they can't trust to shut up in public when it's appropriate and to shut up in the household. That's, you got to be submissive. You got to know when to hold your tongue, when to speak, but also when to just chill. I mean, Courtney, is that something that you might have had a problem with back in the day?
Yeah. Mouthing off, yeah, I did. Not really now, but I used to let my, you know, temper flare. And a lot of people look at me like, oh, you had a temper? Yes, I did. Like, I really was the one that was always just going off. I always had something to say, and I would go from one extreme to another. Like, I would, you know, not say anything, but if, you know, I would let that boil up, and if you said the wrong thing, I would just explode, and that would just turn men off.
Oh, turn men off is an understatement. It would definitely turn us off, but more importantly, it would make us just, you know, target you, you know, in that sexual manner. One of the things that is a great example of that, the young woman, Portia, on the show. Anybody notice that on the other night where she was just, I mean, just an emotional unavailability mess? She was flirting with the white dude, but what was worse than she was flirting was that she was playing games while she was flirting. Did you peep that?
Yeah, I did. She made up that excuse about her phone, saying that her phone was broke and that he would have to contact her sister to get to her. And then she was trying to act like she didn't want to have sex with him, even though she did. It was just a lot of crazy stuff.
I mean, that took me back because this is what happens. These women with these bodies, you know, nice bodies, cute faces, they know they look good. And unfortunately, they use those looks to play games. They think that their looks can entice men. She's like, oh, can you teach me how to swing or whatever like that? This chick bends over, you know, and, you know, booty sticking straight out. And the dude is like, okay, yeah, this side. You know what I mean? He's like all up on her. And then he's like, well, dad, he's like, yo, you throwing it like that? He's like, yo, I might have to call you. Notice that, right? So he went from all that regular talk to, what's up? He said, I might need your number. He didn't really want your number because you appeared to be a hoe, because you're clearly emotionally unavailable. He's going to try to smash. That's the only reason he asked for the number, because he saw that ass up in the air. He's like, oh, what's going on here? He said, let me try to smash real quick. That's all that was. A lot of women look at white guys as if they're exempt from targeting women for sex, but nah. He saw an emotionally unavailable woman with a nice body, cute face, who's clearly a hoe, so let me go ahead and see if I can smash. That's the blueprint. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter who you are, what your situation. If you're emotionally unavailable, you're going to be targeted for sex. If you play games, you're going to be targeted for sex. And a lot of times women, after they get their hearts broken, they will try to make men jump through hoops. So it's like, okay, if you jump through these hoops of trying to, you know, get in my sister's number, trying to get in touch with me, and I can avoid you for 2 days, and if you stay persistent, then I'll finally go out with you. You can take me out to dinner a couple times, and then maybe I'll let you smash after about 2 weeks. Nobody is, and then hopefully this will materialize, and it's something substantial. That's not how it works. Is that something you used to do back in the day?
Yeah, but the thing is, I used to do the same thing that she was doing with that guy. And I would try to make men jump through hoops. Some would just say, you know, forget it, you know, F it, I'm not dealing with her. Then others would actually play the cat and mouse game with me. And since they played that with me, I took that as them being interested in me just because they stuck around for so long, not realizing that they were having sex with other women in the meantime. I'm thinking it's just me. And so once I finally said, oh, okay, well, he seems like he's different, I'll give my heart to him and my body, that's when I realized that, you know, he was just playing a game, just playing along, and it was never about getting to know me.
Right. One of the things that a lot of times women, they mistake is flirtation and sexual attraction for genuine interest. And, you know, just because a man flirts with you does not mean, and it won't, it doesn't mean that he wants a relationship with you. It doesn't mean that he's, you know, even remotely interested in you. It just means that he wants to smash. So you as a man, you can want to have sex with a woman, you know, but not really care about her at all. But you know, if you want to increase your chances of getting that sex, it would behoove you to come off like you actually care and like you have genuine interest. But because you come off like that, you have to understand, ladies, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's genuine. And in 99.9% of the time, it won't be genuine. And that's why it's so important for you to always assess yourselves, or that's where I come in, you know, do that emotional availability assessment to determine how you're being viewed by men. A lot of women are out here dating but not understanding that they're being viewed as hoes. Not saying that you're hoes, but I'm saying that's how you're being viewed by men, specifically because of your emotional unavailability and specifically because of the sexual flirtation and the games that you're playing. And so that's why you have to know, like, okay, do I have unresolved issues that are consciously or subconsciously causing me to try to make men jump through hoops, causing me to give off a sexual vibe that will result in men targeting me for, you know, a train or a threesome or, you know, some form of sexual interaction. We rebroadcasted our special on trains versus threesomes, how to know when a man is trying to target you for sex. We rebroadcasted that the other night. You know, definitely check that out if you missed it, because it was one of the realest shows that we've done as far as how men view women from a sexual perspective. A lot of good girls out here, you know, who think that they're above that. A lot of women who, you know, in the church even, they don't understand that they're being targeted for sex. They're being targeted for trains, you know, by the guys and his homies. So it's deep stuff, man. We're going to get ready to wrap it up. Well, I think we covered a lot tonight. I just definitely wanted to get everything out. I know we've been going for a week. Again, I apologize. Like I said earlier, I get the allergies right around the first of the first week of spring every year. So I'm just now getting over it, but I'm good. And, you know, we'll definitely be back a couple days and, you know, with some more live shows. A lot of good shows coming up. I want to do a show on, as I mentioned earlier, modern-day slavery, talk about, you know, what that looks like. We often use that term, but I really want to do a show where we just break down all the different areas of modern-day slavery. Definitely going to be a good one. I want to talk about loyalty. Chris Brown has a song out now where he's saying, you know, these girls ain't loyal. I want to talk about, you know, that phrase and discuss how true that is in the black community. I want to talk about what that definition of a loyal woman even is. You know, what are some things that, you know, we look for when determining are you loyal or not. And so a lot of good shows, a lot of good topics. Courtney, any last words of wisdom for tonight?
Yeah, I'll just say to the ladies that, you know, don't let past hurt or heartbreak, you know, break you to the point where you lose faith in God and what God can do for you. And, you know, just know that God will, he can and he will bless you with true love, but you have to believe in that and you have to exercise faith.
Excellent advice. One of the things I wanted to mention tonight, definitely pray for Ben Zeno, who from Love and Hip Hop, who was shot over the weekend. That's crazy. Shot three times, I think they said, by his nephew, who was, you know, while he was on his way to his mom's funeral, which is crazy in and of itself. But definitely pray for him, and, you know, I believe he's going to be okay. But what's interesting is that, and we talk about this stuff on a regular basis, I don't know if you guys noticed that, you know, we talk a lot about, we talked about how, you know, the media, you know, the entertainment industry will make big deals out of certain celebrity deaths. You look at Bruno Mars. I wake up one morning, Bruno Mars' mom passes away. She dies. It's front page news. You know, Andre 3000, is, you know, mom dies, front page news. Kanye West, it's on CNN, MSNBC, front page worldwide news that Bruno Mars dies. Wow, okay, well, Dad, Benzino's mom dies. Did you hear anything about Benzino's mom dying?
No.
Huh.
No, I didn't.
That's interesting. You only hear Benzino's mom died because Benzino was shot. That's the news story. Not that his mom dies. It's that Benzino was shot. And that's not even really on CNN. Why? Is Benzino a celebrity? Sure he is. You know, but he's not a Bruno Mars type of celebrity. He's not an Andre 3000 type of celebrity. Not yet, at least. What's the other dude? Not Paul McCartney. One of those freaking white rocker guys. You know, anyway.
Mick,
you know,
Jagger.
What
I'm saying? No, Mick Jagger.
Yes, Mick Jagger. Thank you, Courtney. Who died? Was it his wife or his girl? Who died?
No, I thought it was like his friend or something like that. It was something.
Yeah, somebody died. Right, but she left him like $8 million or something like that. It was like, oh, yeah, she just happened to die, and it's like front page news, and, you know, she just happened to leave everything to him. You know, well, he's obviously Mick Jagger. He's been around for years, and looks like, you know, he had time to pay the pipe. But, hey, we'll leave that alone. Sonny and Cher, Liam Neeson. Now, don't get me started. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's spouse is dying. Everybody's mom is dying. It's crazy, but that's the that's how this entertainment industry works. But don't get me started on that, guys. I want to thank y'all for tuning in tonight. I want to thank y'all for tuning in to the archive show. I check all the ratings. I like to get a chance to see, you know, how many, you know, people are listening in. Guys, we are over 3 million downloads to date on iTunes. So shout out to you guys who listen to the podcast and download on your iPods and, you know, things like that. I appreciate the support over the years. You guys have, you know, really shown a lot of love. And I would encourage you. One last thing I wanted to say about fake friends, just friendships in general. You know, I take friendships very seriously, you know, and I know Courtney does too. And, you know, just cherish the people in your life, you know, who are genuine. You know, don't spend a lot of time with, you know, negativity. You know, and one of, as we say all the time, one of the keys to happiness is to eliminate any and all sources of negativity from your life. So, you know, that being said, you guys know me. You know, I have a lot of several Facebook pages. Obviously, I have the Friends of the Dayton Talbert Show group. You know, shout out to about 200 new members who I added, and other people have added as well. Welcome. You guys are welcome. But one of the things that we have here is it's a group for friends. So certainly, if nothing else, you at least got to be a supporter or a friend. And so if you know that you don't support me, you know you don't support Courtney, you don't support the show, you don't support what we stand for, then, you know, it's not the place for you. And so I don't like to, you know, be like that, but, you know, at the same time, I choose not to surround myself with anyone who is negative on any level, so, or views me as negative. So, you know, that's just, that being said, you know, I do appreciate everybody out there who is genuine, who genuinely listens and genuinely supports and genuinely has, you know, kind thoughts, you know, and that's it. And that's who we should all focus on for our lives, just kind thoughts, positivity, uplifting, you know, just uplifting, people uplifting who represent the things that you stand for, whatever that is. So, look, guys, thank you. If you need counseling, 855-55-DADON, ask Dadon at, I'm sorry, Dadon at trctoday.com. TRC Auto Sales is up and running. We're over at 6422 North 20th Street here in Philadelphia. All types of cars on the lot, so come check us out if you're in the Philly area. And that's it, guys. We'll be back in a couple days live. In the meantime, check out some of the best of, and I will see y'all next week. Peace.
Great man who will treat you right, make you his sweet bride. Oh, you're coming up empty out there, caught your case of blues. I know a man who will pick you up, God will tell you the truth. Baby, you've lost your way again. Let it they don't be your motivation, child. Let they don't overcome and rock your world. Let they don't be your motivation, child. Let they don't over motivate you, girl. Let they don't be your motivation, child. Let they don't overcome and change your world. Don't ever let yourself settle for less. You don't have to be a fool. Call them up, let the tears fall. Little girl, don't be lost anymore. This brother has a master plan. Lean on his wisdom if you feel weak. I guarantee he will help you stand. Baby, you've lost your way again. Let it on take you by the hand. One he'll honor you, follow up with his plan. Yes, humble yourself and admit you're wrong. Swallow your pride, stop trying to be so strong. Work on your personality, and this will set you free. Lady, you've lost your way again. Let it. Let they don't be your motivation, child. Let they don't over motivate you, girl. Let they don't be your motivation, child. Let they don't overcome and rock your world. Let they don't be your motivation, child. Let they don't over motivate you, girl. Let they don't be your motivation, child. Let they don't overcome and change your world.